It's great to be here with you again. It's a blessing to sing together, hear your testimonies. Kristen mentioned a Palm Sunday. And one of the most memorable Palm Sundays that I ever had was 57 years ago. Yeah, I'm old. I was just turned five years old on a Palm Sunday, and we had a tornado in Indiana, and I just never forget the sound, the devastation, and the destruction that happened. And I've shared that with you before. It was a EF5 double tornado or double funnel that went through our area. So. Today we want to look again at the Hearing God series that I had started on a couple weeks ago, and I want to continue with that. I don't want to rush through it. If we have time to get through all of the things that I want to say, it would be great. If I don't, we'll just stop and continue next time. All of us have a desire to hear God, to hear from God, I believe. There's not one of us that is exempt from this, because God has put it within us, some kind of a receptor, maybe we could call it, that we enjoy hearing from God. And I have had those moments often enough that I want just more of them all the time. There's the presence of God is absolutely the best place to be. And I wonder how it would be to bask in his presence just all the time in this body. And I don't know if that's possible. But there are moments that are absolutely perfect. And to have that kind of lifestyle as we hear God, the point is that it's a conversational relationship. And now there's a little bit of a different thing that we talk about sometimes. It's hearing from God when we have specifically had a request or made a petition to him, and then we want to hear back. That's a little different than what I'm talking about today, or this series that I would like to speak about. And we'll see how God leads us. And I know that this church is very flexible and is very forgiving, and if there's a Sunday where I feel like I have to maybe preach about something else, you'll be fine with that, right? But I do have enjoyed this studying about this. I took an online course, and it just kind of drew me in. And one of the first things that the instructor asked on the video is, why did you sign up for this course? And I'm not sure that I can put it into words other than it just drew me. When I got the email to offer this, I was like, yes, something resonated with me in my heart that I wanted to do this. Just because of the times when I have heard from God, hearing God in a conversation, I just want more and to learn more about this. So why do we miss God's presence in the present? Like in our present life, so many times we miss hearing from him, and it's not something that we have to acquire to a certain level of spirituality, which I will cover here in a little bit more. But the number one thing that I believe that we miss God's voice is because of busyness. I believe that is the one thing, and I know that because I am that a lot, too much, too often. And when I want to refer to the Emmaus walk, when the two people were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and when they got there, they realized, after they had invited Jesus in, this person, they didn't know it was him, they invited him in to eat with them, and when he blessed the bread and he broke it, their eyes were open. And there's something supernatural there that happens even with us. When God nourishes us in some way, it opens our eyes and say, whoa, there's something special about this that we're eating from God, that he is nourishing us. Why is God not as clear with us as we would like him to be. There's moments where I would like, God, can you just speak clear? Can you just come down here on earth and talk to me face to face and tell me what's up and what I should do? Does God want us to hear him? He does. In Psalm 81:13, it says, "Oh, that my people would listen to me." The Israelites, they followed the cloud by day when they left Egypt. And I wondered, a thought came to me. Did they have to decide, okay, it's that cloud or is it this cloud? Did they take a lot of time? Did Moses spend a lot of time identifying, okay, God, now which cloud is this? And I don't think so, because in Exodus, where it talks about it in chapter 13, it says the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day and then also a pillar of fire by night. There was a distinct recognition that this was the cloud that we're going to follow, that we are to follow, because it was a pillar. It was, in other words, if you think about a pillar, if you tell somebody directions on how to go somewhere and there's a pillar there as an identifying landmark, you tell them, look for the pillar. That's where you're going. And so we look for something that's upright, probably some kind of boulder, perhaps. But this is the way I think the cloud was, and it was easy for him to identify it. It was a pillar, so it might have stretched from just a foot above their heads, or it could have been 50 feet above their heads, but it went straight up. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking about a pillar. So when God comes to us, sometimes it's a little foggy, and it's not something that he has done wrong, just that we can't identify quite. But as we go on in our lives and we recognize it, it becomes easier and more familiar when God is saying, hey, Kenny, I want to talk to you, or Austin, or Richard, or whoever it is. And then we say, okay, I'm going to listen, because we recognize it. That's our biggest problem, I think, besides being too busy, is we don't recognize it when he is talking. Sometimes we give up because we didn't hear what we thought we heard. And we all had heard stories of people who said, I heard from God, and this is the way it is. And then it pans out quite different. Particularly, I remember being in a prison service with in prison there in Alabama, and this one inmate, he was so excited after the service. The family that had been doing the music that night was the Franz family, if you remember them. And their one daughter stood out to this inmate. He was so excited. He came up to me afterward and he said, you know, God spoke to me tonight. And I said, oh, okay. What is it? And he said, he told me I'm going to marry that woman right there. I didn't try to, you know, dissuade him or anything, but I later on, after we had the equipment loaded, we helped the Franz family out. I said, Audra, one of the inmates told me tonight something that God spoke to him and that he is going to marry you. And she smiled a little bit and said, God didn't tell me that. And that never happened. So there's times, and there's times when we think we hear God and it's not God. But as we go along, don't become disheartened by that and say, and we begin to doubt. That's just the human thing that we do, right? But God doesn't change. He keeps speaking. And so try to help. Maybe in the things that I share with you of what I've went through, help you to recognize God's voice and when he's speaking. And I don't have it all together. Listen, there's still times when I miss it completely, or I just quench the spirit, even though I hear it, okay? So sometimes we give up, but don't give up. Now, this introduction is a little bit long. I'm trying to get through this here. And we talked a little bit about the peace this morning throughout the devotions and testimonies. But what would we give to be able to be at complete rest all the time? And I know that's probably not possible on this side, but someday we will. But if we could strive a little bit more and have a little bit more of rest, and it's in that presence of peace that is a complete rest. Vacation. Should we go on vacation to have more rest? Now there's a thought. We arrive home from vacation needing one most times. Because we can't rest. We have to always be doing something. Seems like rest is unreachable. My motive for this subject, and I've shared a little bit with you, but desire that what Psalm 56:13 says, that I may walk in the presence of God in the light of life, is what I desire to be at, and for you to be, and for you to not follow me necessarily, but follow God's presence. I desire that we would see God as a friend who is for us, not against us, one who we can all call friend. The first message then here this morning, the first is about hearing God in meditation. I think that's where we learned that, it's the easiest, but it is one of the most important, is to hear God in meditation of Scripture. And I'll just go through the others before I go on of the other titles that we have. Is speaking to listen, hearing God for others. That's an interesting one. And how it, at the base of what it produces when we hear God for each other, is community. Now, community, our culture is real good at community and helping each other when there's catastrophes and disasters and so on. But it starts here with hearing God for others. Hearing God in curiosity. Hearing God in detours and silence. That's an interesting one. They're all interesting and all very good. Hearing God and guidance. Those are the titles of the different ones. And so we're going to talk about hearing God in meditation. At the end, I have some handouts that I can give you. I'll leave them at the back table if you have. It's the practical things and exercises that you can do at home by yourself in hearing God in meditation of Scripture. What is the difference between Eastern meditation and the Christian's meditation? Is there a difference? I mean, you read stories, or you have seen videos and movies of the monks sitting cross-legged and So what is he trying to do? What are they teaching? They are teaching a way of emptying your mind. Christian meditation is filling the mind with Christ. That's the difference. Are you familiar, I suppose you are, with the book Jesus Calling? It's a small kind of book. Why is it that Sarah Young has sold over 8 million copies of that? I don't know if you like that book or not. I do to a certain point, but the reason that I kind of don't read it every day as a devotional. I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't, but I want that to be my hearing from God. I want that to be my experience. But it does kind of inspire you, doesn't it? Because all of us, there's something in us, like I mentioned before, like a receptor from God that book kind of brings out. Now, she's not like a superhero. She's like you and I are. And so she takes meditation, she takes Scripture, because a lot of times there's Scripture in there, and then she just kind of, as we'll see later in instruction, is paraphrases it, and it becomes personal for her. And so she sold so many copies. I don't know if she expected that or not, but it really is God speaking. It's hearing God through Scripture meditation. What are we saved from? Is what I want to ask you. Most of us know it's not a rocket science question. What are we saved from? We're saved from death, we're saved from sin, and we're saved from hell. Okay? So the next question is, what did God save us for? We all know what God has saved us from. And we're happy about that. What did he save us for? He saved us for a relationship. And a couple others. Communication. Communication with who? And a relationship with who is the God of the universe, the God of Israel, the God of Martinsburg. That's what we are saved for. How good could your relationship be in your with your spouse if you wouldn't communicate? It just wouldn't be no talk at all. Or periodically you would talk, maybe at breakfast. Once a week you would talk. That would begin to show on your relationship. It begins to kind of fragment, perhaps, your relationship. And so the other one is fellowship that I have here, that he saved us for relationship, communication, and fellowship with God, everywhere, all the time. And so we get pretty good at instructing each other how to get along with each other, particularly at weddings, and those are usually things that the preacher talks about. You need to communicate to have a good relationship, and you need, you know, you just need that. But when we talk about God, we don't have, at least I've not talked about it a lot, of how to have proper or how to have a conversational relationship with God during the day, in the evening, in the morning. And it's important, because if you only talk to God in the morning or every other day, every other month or whatever it is, it's the same thing tends to happen. It's just like you grow apart. And so it's important to learn how to have a conversational relationship with God all the time. I know we have to work, and I know there's things that we go through and so on that we have to fix the brakes or those things, but even in that, there can be a communication about it, about life and so on. Okay, Noah walked with God, and God said to Noah, the walking here is an important thing. It's the same like Adam and Eve when they were walking in the cool of the day, they were walking through the garden, they were having this conversation with God. There's a Hebrew metaphor for walking. This word walked, walking, and it has to do with, it means, this metaphor is conversational relationship. The heart of Christ is a heart of relationship, for relationship and for communication and fellowship. And relationships for me are pretty important, as most of you know. And I think with communication, if there's no communication, I basically don't have a relationship with you. And so it's the same with God. And it's important to talk. It's important to visit, just to visit. And there's another Hebrew metaphor that I want to get to here in a little bit that also means the same thing, a conversational relationship, okay? Another scripture here about Abraham. When he was 99 years old, God said to Abraham, I am the Almighty, walk before me. In other words, what he's saying here is, have a conversational relationship with me. That's what God was wanting with Noah, with Abraham, Adam and Eve. And I have a couple more of those. David, it says, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, so that I may walk in the presence of God in the light of life. I had mentioned part of that verse earlier. And God has done that for us. He has delivered our soul from death and our feet from falling. Why? So that I may have a conversational relationship with you. That's what he is saying here. Psalm 81:13. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Hearing God. Here's another part of the Hebrew metaphor that means having a conversational relationship with God, and that's eating. And we do good with that in our culture. Eating together. That's so much fun. And you notice how when we're sitting around the table at somebody's house, where conversation is going and it's flowing and it's beautiful, and somebody says, well, why are we sitting here on these hard chairs? We should go into the living room. And everybody's just hesitant to just run in there, right? Because we don't want to lose what's going on, because it's beautiful. It's just the way it should be, a conversational relationship. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Another one is, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Why? Because that's a part of the conversational relationship that we can have with Christ is while eating with each other and Him. That was another form of conversation with God. It's what we all enjoy as believers. Conversation around food. It brings joy. Like this. My brother-in-law and me, we were in Jerusalem right there across from the current city walls, or I get lost with the geographics and where it was on the east side, I don't know, but our tour guide, his son worked at this coffee shop and they had ice cream. So you can't say no to ice cream. So me and Paul, we had a conversation out there and we ate together. When Jesus does not speak within, all other comfort is empty. But if He speaks only a word, it brings great consolation. That's by Thomas A. Kempe in the book, The Imitation of Christ. And this is a picture of the Sea of Galilee down there. We were up on a high mountain that took this picture. So when Jesus does not speak within your heart, and you go on for any length of time, you begin to feel dry and distant. But if He speaks only a word, and you've probably had those moments where it brings such comfort, and out of that comfort comes joy. It's a beautiful thing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The first time I remember, recall sensing that I was hearing from God was about when I was 8 or 9 years old. And our parents were inside the house. It was summer. They were singing. Like, there was neighbors and friends had got together, and we just got together for having a hymn sing. And I wanted to play with the boys, so Dad finally said, okay, you can go outside. But the window was open, and as I was out there in the yard playing with my friends and my my friends, and I could hear them sing. I've shared this here before, but as the older people were singing hymns, it wafted out. It's like an aroma came out through it, and I was just smitten by that presence. At that age, I didn't know what it was. And looking back now, I know it was God's presence. It was summoning me, my heart, to His presence. And it lasted it was just a moment. I thought, what is this? I stopped. I wasn't playing anymore with the boys. I was just, this was something. I remember that clear as day. And then there's others as I went through life. And, there's just so much to talk about. Other experiences that I've had, I'll share some more with you as I go on through the other sessions, I guess. One of the things that we want to remember in this hearing God and your desire to hear more of God or from God is that God speaks not because of our goodness or our greatness. He speaks because of His greatness and goodness. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And in this picture here, in the desert, towards the southern end of Israel, is where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls long ago. And many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. They found those Dead Sea Scrolls in those caves that you see windows in, or openings. I'm not sure if that was the exact one, but that's the way it looked. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own or on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and declare to you the things to come. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, that's in Isaiah. God is always speaking. Our trouble is that we don't recognize it, or we don't hear it. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. John 8:47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. And in hearing His voice, and in I keep going back to the two guys that were walking on the Emmaus walk, that there was a burning within them, and they knew it, but they couldn't recognize it until he started feeding them and breaking the bread. And it's pretty much the same for us. When God begins to give us things, to break down things to us, and we say, oh, this is God. And then in that, when you experience that, the reason I want more of it is this. There's so much rest in that. Oh, it's just like the pinnacle of life. It's so much rest there. The gospel principle for hearing God is this. I said it a little earlier, and now I'm getting to the slide. God doesn't speak to us because of our goodness and our greatness. He speaks because of his goodness and greatness. And the reason I say that, the reason that is important for us to see is that we don't have to wait until we are good at something. We don't have to wait, and we don't have to memorize enough scripture, and then God will say, okay, now I'll talk to you. We don't have to visit enough sick people. We don't have to lead worship often enough. We don't have to tithe more. We don't have to become older or serve on more nonprofit boards. We don't have to raise perfect children or visit more prisoners or go to Sunday school more often or volunteer at the soup kitchen or witness to more sinners for God to speak to us. What do we have to do? Believe that it's all about him and his greatness, and recognize, learn to recognize his voice. But think about Abraham. When Abraham was a heathen, God called him out of the idol worship and onto a journey. Moses was a murderer, and he fled justice. Samuel was just a child when God spoke to him. Paul was torturing and killing Christians when he heard the voice of God. Hallelujah. The disciples were unlearned and all abandoned him, yet he summoned them. So it isn't just those who attend seminary, college. It's not just those who are older and wiser, but for anyone who desires to hear his voice. If you think you're unworthy, which we a lot of times are, we feel like, oh, I'm just unworthy. I never can attain to that. It's more for those who are older, those who have done this or have went through life and experienced this. Number one hindrance, I mentioned it before, in hearing God is busyness. Because God is always speaking. Why do we miss him or miss hearing him? It's because I don't recognize it and I'm too busy. Even when we're not looking for it. And here's this interesting scripture that I came across. It says in Job 33:14, and this is in the ESV. I want to read that in King James first. In the King James, Job 33:14, it says, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." Now in the ESV it says, "For God speaks in one and in two, though man does not perceive it." Remember, God is always speaking. In the NIV, it says, "For God does speak now one way, now another, though man may not recognize it." The reason I'm looking up is I'm checking out if the fonts are big enough for you back there, Brandon. Can you see it all right? Should they be bigger? And Brandon, you can see that pretty good? Okay. For future, I wanted to make it bigger if I need to. The NIV says, "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not recognize it." In the Luther Bible, for you German-speaking people, it says, "Denn in einer Weise redet Gott und wieder in einer anderen, nur achtet man's nicht. In English, translated, that means, "Then in one way God speaks, and again in another way, and man pays no attention to it." So it seems like he's always speaking. It's just that we don't recognize, sometimes we don't pay attention to it. And remember, it's for everyone. Even young children at the age of, it can be five. I've heard of even younger than that. Not often, but 7, 8, 9 years old, God is speaking. Because of misconceptions, expectations, and past failures, we kind of settle into less than what God desires. The challenge is to get where we recognize his voice. Oswald Chambers says this: "The voice of the Spirit of God is as gentle as a summer breeze. The sense of warning and restraint that the Spirit gives comes to us in the most amazingly gentle ways. And if one is not sensitive enough to detect His voice, we'll quench it, and our spiritual life will be impaired." This writer, E. Stanley Jones, which I never heard before, I found this quote. It says, "The voice of our subconscious argues with us. It tries to convince us, but the inner voice of God does not argue. It does not try to convince us. It just speaks, and it is self-authenticating. It has the feel of the voice of God within it." And I love that part where it just, when the voice of God speaks, or when we hear Him, it just speaks. It's like the truth stands by itself. It doesn't come to us and punch us or say, "Now you get this," or "Why don't you understand it already?" or "You should be somewhere else by now." It just speaks. It just speaks, and it's so beautiful. Self-authenticating. Hearing God in meditation. Now, this is something that has to do with the handouts that I have for you. And I'll hurry through this. No, I'm not going to hurry, okay? I want it to be worthwhile. Hearing God in meditation, an exercise for you to do. And what it is, what it comes to, is you take any scripture. And there's questions that I'm going to put up here. And to go through them just for a little bit, and then I'll have you, if you want a handout, you can have it. It's not a big deal. If you don't want it, I'll take them home. I hope somebody wants them. But hearing God in meditation of His Word, it's like a person who is hard of hearing. This is something that we can do. You know what we do when we get hard of hearing, which is my daughter say, "I'm getting hard of hearing." You kind of do this. You lean in. What is God saying? And here's a good example. I, for some reason, took a picture one day over here when we were having it's been such a long time, and I kind of pulled it up just so you can see Austin is leaning and hearing. He's actually not wanting to hear. He was scratching something, I don't know, but anyway. We lean in to hear God. And this is the scripture that I wanted to just share with you. You can take any scripture and do this exercise in learning to hear God in meditation of His Word. This is Ephesians 2:10. It's in the International Standard Version, which I'm not very familiar with it, but I like this rendering of this verse. "For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God prepared long ago to be our way of life." The first question that you want to then ask is, what does this reveal about God? What does it reveal about God? Well, one thing that it reveals that I see already is that God prepared this long ago. So He has a foreknowledge. He has a forethought. It's just amazing that he can think ahead that far. And one thing in particular, the scripture tells us that He thought of us before the foundations of the world. That is an amazing God that we have. What does this passage reveal about me? What about it stirs my curiosity? And in the handouts that I give you, there's space in between these questions for you to answer and to write down. And you take some time. Create some spare time. We have to be intentional in order to learn. Anything that is learned, you have to give yourself kind of to it and be intentional and say, "I want to learn something here." And it takes time. So we have to do that if we want to learn how to better hear God and recognize His voice. Another question is, what would my life look like if I believed this was true? How does my culture twist, distort, or reject it? And how has that affected me? And we know what our culture is like today. It twists stuff. Good is evil, and evil is good. Why don't I really believe this truth deep down? How does this truth make me love God more? How does it reveal His beauty? And one more. What do I need to change in order to realign my heart with this truth? Hearing God in and through meditation of scriptures creates the intimacy with Him in the relationship, and it brings rest. And how I long for rest in our busy, busy world that we are in. There is just constantly things, and there is other sounds There's other voices. There's other things that keep, like, bashing our minds. And too often I listen to those instead of when he just speaks in a still, gentle, small voice. I was going to tell you a little bit about in Kings where Elijah was in the cave. And things happened and the voice of God was not in there until all the drama ended and it was quiet. And then God spoke to Elijah. It's so beautiful. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day, for the beauty of a relationship with you, the all-encompassing sense and feeling of worth that we gain from being there and walking therein is amazing, and it is so beautiful. That's what we want, God. That's what we want with you, Jesus. Our very hearts, our souls and our bodies and all of who we are long for that. So teach us, Holy Spirit. Amen.